Hello, and welcome to AfterBuzz TV, home of the world's worst Cher impersonation. We're going to talk about some slap happy mini challenges, a very unauthorized Cher rusical, and more. Stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Because we couldn't get the rights to a Cher song. No, we couldn't.
That makes so much more
sense. I could just ask for another. Hello, everyone. I am your host, 123 Jackie B. We're here to discuss RuPaul's Drag Race Season 10, Episode 8, The Unauthorized Rusical, or The Unauthorized Cher Rusical. I have Ollie and Mark J. Freeman with me. Ronnie is at home with his mom because it's Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day to all you mothers
and
out there.
One of my drag babies text me, Happy Mother's Day. God. Rude.
Shady.
Anissa, Amanda, and Gloria are all going to get punched.
That's how you treat them as a mother.
Yeah.
You punch them.
That's probably
it's
why they
love.
Didn't say love.
That's right. That's right.
Okay. My mom, when she was young, looked kind of like Cher, so I'm going to tweet out a picture later so y'all can see it. So
fantastic.
I feel like, in a way, my mom is kind of like Cher.
Aww. Yeah.
Happy but just
Mother's Day.
Not as famous.
That's so sweet.
So... Did you both go to DragCon or just Mark?
Yes, we both did.
You both did. Let's get a little update from DragCon. What happened?
Everyone's asking, so we might as well give them a little bit.
Yeah.
You can go first, Oliver, because you met some of the season 10 girls.
Yeah, I met Cameron. She was super nice. You know, I didn't want to spend a whole lot of time with her because her line was crazy. I met Monique. She's so sweet. Yuha again. Yuha's always. I met her again, and she's just so shady to me. And it's so cool to be shady back to her. We have an interesting kind of relationship together. But yeah, I really wanted to meet Miss Cracker, but kind of some of the event is a little disorganized, and I don't agree with how they organize it. But other than that, you know, if you want to go to DragCon, just make sure you're ready to stand in lines and pay lots of money.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
But you already have to pay money to get in.
You pay money to get in.
But for VIP, if you want to meet a queen, VIP is up here. You have a fast pass. That's your priority. And then it's general. So when I went to go meet Cracker, attempt to meet Cracker, VIP just kept going and going and going, kept filling up. So I was in line for 2 hours to meet Miss Cracker, and I didn't get to because that's how they organized it. So, but I had a good time regardless, other than that fact. But
yeah.
Panel
went good. It was way too short. They cut it off way, way, way too quick. I don't know why that happened. I didn't get to a lot of questions. We got one fan question, which was about Raven, had nothing to do with season 3. But overall, the panel was fun. It was wonderful to see all the girls. I even said when I started the panel, it was fun to do kind of my research to prepare and kind of go down memory lane of season 3. There were just so many things that I forgot, completely forgot. That was the season they did the open call, where they cast Delta and Venus Delight in the first episode.
I forgot that.
Remember that? I know. I totally forgot.
Oh
my God. They need to bring that back. That would be cool.
Mark, you need to unplug and replug your mic.
All right. So let's try this.
Well, Mark is silent.
Finally, he's silent. Gosh.
Well, I'm going to use Ollie's microphone while I'm unplugged.
Oh my God. Where there's a will, there's a way for him. Let me tell you about a nice little podcast, you guys. Need to listen to Maria Menounos has a podcast called Conversations with Maria Menounos. It drops every single Friday. It's free. Please go check it out. She covers health, fitness, life tips, everything you need to know to be a better person, because in this day of age, we need to be nicer to each other and we need to be more confident. So check it out. And when you do, tell Maria that it was us that sent you there.
So yeah. This is a shortened version of her Sirius XM show.
Yeah.
Yes, so
shorter and
free.
Freer.
And freer.
Free 99.
How can you not love free 99?
Right. Back to DragCon. It was fun though.
Yeah.
It was nice. It was huge. That's in the South Hall, so it was the biggest hall. So I don't know. It'll be interesting to see numbers wise.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't seem busier, but it was also it was a walk. Like, the runway was on one side, which is where Toni Moore was.
Mm-hmm.
So I would go over there and, hang out with him every once in a while. And then if you ended up on the other side, like, when I went to leave, I was like, yeah, not going to go walk over and say goodbye. Like, it was that far away. So I was like,
South Hall's
I know
huge.
So many people that were like, I'm not even going back over to Acid Betty's side because she was on that side. It's just too far to go.
Wow.
Yeah. I actually think it might have been a little more fun if it were a little more compact.
Yeah.
Just to, that hustle and bustle, I think, would have been kind of more exciting. But it was fun. I, again, glad to get to go. Glad to get to go on somebody else's dime. Because I definitely would not be paying to go. I'll wait till Monday and Tuesday in West Hollywood and see.
But I did see that there were a lot of cool booths with a lot of awesome merch. You must have got your Cameron shirt there.
I did.
It's awesome.
Yes, I
which
did.
You
thank
have
you,
to
you,
buy
you,
if you want a photo.
It's true. There are a lot of drawbacks to conventions, especially with drag queens, but it was still fun.
Yeah.
If you're a diehard fan, I recommend it for sure.
If you're a diehard fan and you have money to spend.
Yes.
Do it. I just say wait till they come to your area and really try and go. And especially if you are on a dime, because it's. I literally was walking around with somebody and I love them all, but I'm not gonna. This isn't how I want to spend my money.
Yeah.
And kudos to you that do, because I just it's not.
Well, I mean, they got to make money somehow.
Yeah.
You know.
No, and I understand that. And there
it's the same. It's the same concept with Comic-Con. It's
right.
Like you have people there, and they're spending their time there, so they have to make money.
Well, and I always say too, it's more than just the queens, which is what was exciting for me when I went the first time to see all the different gay-owned businesses, gay travel sites. You know, all these different things that are there for you that you may not even know about. So it's definitely something to experience. And a lot of them, you know, especially, you know, some of them aren't as particular with hiding. So you can't see them unless you actually come up and buy the merch and go back to take the picture. So sometimes you can, like Miss Cracker, even though there was a long line, you could see her. She was right there. And if you waited, you could wait for people to move and take a quick picture of her and move along. You know what I mean? So I do think it's going to get more like, I would hope that it gets more like that, where they start to go, you know, this is a little ridiculous that we're making this so hard for people to get to us and take a picture. And even if you just want a picture of them, like, who cares? It's free publicity, girl.
People love
well,
that. Yeah.
Glad you guys love DragCon.
Yeah, it was fun.
What did you think of this episode? I love Cher, so I'm just going to say I absolutely love this episode. And I'm glad that Cameron finally got a win because I've really been a fan of Cameron.
Yeah, I'm really happy. That makes me much more happier and excited for her longevity within the competition, because I was getting nervous. I was like, she's not winning. Now I'm nervous for a couple other queens such as Monet and Cracker. It's really getting down to the wire. We have a solid top six. But I think we'll talk about it later, but I think, talking about Vixen, I think she kind of, her send off, hopefully, I hope made her look, better to the fans. Cause you know, the fandom can be a little toxic at times. And I think she got eliminated in, a good fashion. Like she wasn't, I felt bad.
I do think though, to call out for some fans, like the fandom can be toxic sometimes for no reason. And that is also what makes me mad.
Yeah.
Because you'll see some queens that like maybe they sent your favorite queen home in a lip sync or something like that. And then that the queen who did that gets attacked.
Yeah.
And it's like, she's just doing her job.
Yeah, you could have an opinion, but then to send like death threats, that's uncalled for.
Crazy.
That's absolutely no.
You can say something, you know, like we've learned here to say, this is not my cup of tea, you know, like this queen is not my cup of tea or this outfit is not my cup of tea. But it's like, ultimately, everyone here is expressing
their heart. Derek Barry is not my cup of tea. Speaking of, I was telling him this, you'll get a kick out of this. When I was leaving today, her booth was empty. She wasn't there, but there...
You should have taken a picture.
I wanted to take a picture so bad. There was this like real booger drag queen sitting at her table with a blonde wig. So it was just the black table, black curtain, it said Derek Barry. And I was like, I just want to take a picture of this and have the Derek Barry sign behind it, like, and make that go viral. Like, it would have made my day. Anyway.
You should have.
I forgot to say, I did, actually, I don't know, did you get a hot dog from Tyra Sanchez out front before you went in? Totally kidding.
The shade. Oh my god, you are the shadiest.
Season two queen selling hot dogs out front. Anyway, this episode. Okay, I'm gonna say this again because I said this a couple episodes ago. I'm tickled that season 10 has put thought behind the challenges and the mini challenges and kind of making it all make sense instead of just doing things to do them. I liked that the mini challenge had to do with Cher. You know what I mean? Like that they were tied together. It wasn't just, I'm going to do a mini challenge. You have to pick up
Wait,
a feather with
how
your...
how did the mini challenge have to do with Cher?
The slap, snap out of it. The slap.
Oh, I thought...
It was called
sorry,
slap out of it or something is what it was called.
I missed that because I just thought it was... I wrote fake bitch slap.
Yeah. No, it was because of her snap out of it.
Oh.
I think they called it... Snap out of it.
Snap out of it. Yeah. That was horrible. Like that was horrible. Yeah.
Sorry. Didn't make that connection.
Yeah.
Even though I watched
it. It took me like the second time watching to get it because they say something. So that's how I caught it. But I enjoyed it. We'll just agree to disagree about the winner. But.
Okay. Well, we'll get there.
Okay. So, yeah. Okay, well, okay.
It's going to be a good day for us to be sitting on the same side.
Let's do this. Let's
so
do
with
this.
With the slap out of it challenge, which I wrote down as fake bitch slap, which is apparently not the title. I thought the funniest to me was Cameron with the grandmother mm-hmm. joke. And then I thought, I thought Eureka's HD joke mm-hmm. was pretty funny.
Mm-hmm.
To me, those were the two funniest.
Yeah.
I actually liked Aquarius.
I liked Aquarius, too.
I actually really liked Aquarius.
I liked Aquarius.
I thought the
Cameron.
Only one that I was just kind of course, was just made no freaking sense was Vixen.
I agree.
Yeah.
It was just...
The Vanjie thing
didn't make
sense
any sense. It had nothing to do with it.
And I didn't... out of all of them, Asia, I was not seeing... if
as
you picked
winner.
Eureka, Monet, Cracker, Cameron, yeah. I could have seen that.
I think it was also their reaction to the slap. And her reaction was way over the top. And she did hit her. She felt bad because she hit her.
She didn't want to get sued. That's why she gave her the win. Yeah. But yeah, I agree.
I didn't until I realized she actually hit her. As soon as that happened, I went, oh, well, she's going to win. And then she won. So... But I liked it. I thought it was cute. I thought it was fun.
Then we had the Maxi Challenge, which is the unauthorized Cher musical. And we were talking about how they didn't use a Cher song as a lip sync.
Yeah.
And I think it's because they didn't have the rights, which is why they couldn't. The actual episode title is just unauthorized musical. And then in the episode, they're like, Cher.
Yeah. right.
So I am a little bit bummed about that because it's like, come on, Cher. Give RuPaul the rights to your music. Let these people love you.
Have they done a Madonna song?
Yes, they have.
Okay.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, they have. Okay.
They have.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they did it for the Madonna, Night of a Thousand Madonnas or something.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure they did.
So I was a little bummed about that, but it does remind me of, we have this theater here in LA called The Rockwell where they do a lot of unauthorized musical versions.
I love
of,
that you called it a theater.
It is. It's like a dinner theater.
Yeah.
More shade. It's Mark.
Well, no,
shade.
I'm not.
Mark knows the people who work for them.
No, I'm not. I'm just saying. It used to be a restaurant, so I don't think of it as a theater. I think of it as a restaurant that does shows.
Well, it's like a dinner theater.
That's what I mean.
It's like a dinner theater.
Stop putting words in my mouth.
There's a stage. They dance all around you. They drink your wine. Whatever.
Yeah, right.
But it does. It does remind me of that. It's like this, like. Fan kind of like service to different like shows and things like that. So I was tickled by it. I just wish they had done a Cher song.
Yeah. They've done four Madonna songs.
Damn.
Oh, there you
Express
go.
Yourself, Causing a Commotion, Vogue, and Music.
Oh, they did do Music. That was the most recent one.
Yeah.
So we had Cameron
Thank
was
you.
60s Cher. Monet and Vixen were both 70s variety show Cher. Aquaria was disco Cher, Asia was movie star Cher, Eureka was rock star Cher, and Cracker was comeback Cher.
Mm-hmm.
It was weird to me that Asia had this whole conundrum with being movie star Cher because that would probably be one of my favorite Chers.
Yeah.
Like, got her movie star hair.
Yeah.
Very poorly done movie star hair. Yeah. But yeah, I love movie star Cher. I mean, to me, that's who I grew.
I think
that's
I
the
think
version
this,
of Cher.
I think Miss Cracker
first.
Was right when she kind of called her out and was just like, I don't know if she did it in person, but I think in the confessional, she said, she said, you know, she was mad that Asia was making excuses for being. And first of all, you know, the whole thing about her complaining about the glitter material, they actually liked your outfit. Asia. Everybody liked the outfit. So the fact that you're giving shade to the girls because they didn't use it, it's like that's why we're even having this argument is ridiculous because they actually liked your outfit.
And it
more
was
than
just
they liked
so,
some of the other ones.
It was just like the whole breakdown of like whether or not you could use sequins or Or glitter, or what was the other one? It was like sequins glitter or some other thing.
Rhinestones.
Like rhinestones. Yeah. Like there was a, she was like trying to parse out like reasons for why you should not wear the other ones. And I'm like, if it's glitter, if it like makes a kind of glittery image, I don't think it matters.
I don't think the outfit would have saved her if she had like a dazzling glitter gown.
No.
It wouldn't have saved her because her performance was one of the
lowest. Bad. Yeah, it was really bad.
No. Yeah. I agree.
And I'm saying that I like Asia. Like, I like Asia. I don't want Asia to go home. But it's like, you know, there's a point where you have to, like, suck it up and be like, I did poorly today. Today was not my day.
Yeah.
My favorite, though, was Cameron as 60 Cher because I do agree with them that it was the most Cher.
Yes.
It I read agree. To me as the most Cher. Although, if I'm looking at a performance overall, I would say Monet just because it made me laugh so hard. Yeah. Like, Monet's was hilarious.
Yeah.
And she did have Cher mannerisms.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think she had a really good characterization of Cher. And it was, I think it was one of the more funnier ones. I think my personal favorite, I'm happy Cameron won. You know, I think for her to set start the show and still be memorable and be Cher-like. So I can understand why she won, and I'm happy she won. But I really liked Cracker this week. I thought she was really funny.
She did. I think she was... It was so weird to me because they were like... They were like, oh, well, you weren't very Cher or whatever. And I was like, are you kidding?
We couldn't understand your vocalization. I'm like,
you can't understand Cher's vocalization sometimes. Yeah. Like, when she sings, when you're talking about that Cher that Cracker was doing, the comeback Cher, you cannot, because of all the, like, auto-tune, understand what she's saying. So I got it. Yeah. Like, I got what she was doing with that.
Mm-hmm. So I was a little bummed that Cracker didn't win this week, but I was still very happy and proud of Cameron.
Cracker hasn't won yet.
No, she has not. So that scares me. Yeah. I think she deserves to be in the top three or top four, whatever they're doing this season. But I'm scared. I'm scared of her and Monet. So
Mark, since you didn't think Cameron was in the top, who did you think?
Monet for sure.
Yeah.
And I actually really liked Eureka as well. I do think let's not mince words. Michelle misspoke when she said temporary. It was more tentative when she came out, and I did notice that right away. And I did notice that as she got going, her energy and everything kind of picked up. Yeah. I don't know if that was intentional or not. But I thought, Cameron, I don't... And I'm not going to blame Cameron, per se, because the song at that point is very slow. It's just kind of spoken. It's not very upbeat at that point, if you rewatch it, which I've done a couple times now. She definitely looked the most Cher, and I will go out on a limb and say she looked more Cher than Shawn Michaels. She sounded very Cher. The energy for me wasn't there. It didn't wow me. I did kind of look away the first time I watched it because I was just kind of like, okay, let's get to the nitty gritty. And then Monet came out and just knocked it out of the ballpark. To me, that's when the number started, truthfully. Going back and watching it, I did start to like Cameron's more. It just seemed so hesitant and so temporary that I had a hard time with it. I don't know. And I think the reason she won is because of her runway. Mm. I think if Monet's runway I liked, I couldn't see the things that they were saying
that
they could
see. Yeah, we'll get to that.
When I saw it, I was like, oh, I actually really like this. And kudos to you for wearing that, because my fat ass wouldn't wear anything like that. So I think had her outfit looked better, she would have won.
But I do. And I also agree with the people in the bottom. Like, Vixen actually has really good timing. Like, she's able to dance really well. And you can tell that's one of her talents. Like, when she was with Todrick, and Todrick's like, do this move, this move, this move, this move, and she was on it, but it's just, it completely did not read as Cher.
Yeah. Yeah. No, not at all.
Yeah.
I have to say, when RuPaul said this, I was like, that was it. It was her, she was just performing. She wasn't connecting.
Right.
And when she said that, I went, that's what it was. That's absolutely what it was.
And I do think, like, and we'll talk about this later too, I do think there, when you get to a point where you're feeling like disheartened in yourself and you're having that kind of moment, it's hard for you to really perform and connect with the audience.
And I think you saw that in her lip sync for her life.
Yeah.
I think there was a very big difference between what Asia was doing and what Vixen was doing. You could tell Vixen was struggling to, like, I have to win this. And Asia's like, girl, this is what I do every day.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You just saw that attitude on stage.
Because it would have made a huge difference if Vixen had fun with it and really tried to do the Cher voice. But yeah, she didn't.
She didn't. Not at all.
Didn't reach Cher at all.
She did what she does in Chicago. Lip sync to a Cher song and put on what she thought was the closest thing to looking like Cher.
Yes. So then, I'm sorry. I was trying to figure out, I had a note here. Oh yeah, it was a note about, we had as the judging panel, Andrew Rannells.
Yeah.
That's what I was trying to say. And Billy Eichner.
Who I saw Saturday. Did you see him Saturday?
No, I didn't.
I saw him walking around.
Yeah. I've never seen Billy on the street, but I want to watch
it. It's hysterical. It's hysterical.
I want to watch it. And I love Andrew Rannells.
Yeah.
So I was pleased that those were the judges. Yeah. I thought they were great judges. And I've been loving Michelle's makeup. Like whoever.
She's looking better than Rue. Like this.
Don't
this
tell Raven that.
Sorry.
And she always on her Instagram, like she has these like cool glasses on in this episode. And on her Instagram, she's had tons and tons of cool glasses. So just a random.
She had cool glasses on today. Did you see her today? Oh, you didn't.
No, I wasn't there. I don't have money like you do. No.
I didn't have money. I got this. I got this.
So our mirror moment was about the Vixen. And I agree with you, Ollie, where it's like she left on a high note because she realized Asia did this thing where she pulled her aside and she was like saying, I understand where you're coming from. I know why you're angry because you feel like you're struggling to be worthy. But ultimately in the end, and it's kind of something Ruth said to her too, ultimately in the end, you're like, you're responsible for yourself and you're responsible for your own happiness. So like there was a point, like I do know that Eureka had episodes ago like picked that fight with the Vixen, but at the same time it's like there's a point where like Eureka we've seen has already moved past that moment and the Vixen hadn't, and then the Vixen had managed in this episode, which did warm my heart to say like she likes Aquaria now, like she realizes she has this like outsider personality and she can relate to that. And so I think like I do agree that if the Vixen and I think I said this before, stopped feeling so hurt and like walled off, she'd be able to see like similarities between her and other queens and really be able to connect. Because it's like, yeah, anyone can look at you and understand, okay, you've been hurt here in the past. But at the same time, you can't go into every situation saying, this person's going to hurt me.
Yeah.
Because that closes you off from, like, potential friendships and relationships.
And that makes you look very, as Willem would say, pointed. And no one wants to get behind you or support you if you're going to act like that.
Yeah.
Act like that. And I think with Vixen, I totally agree with what Asia said. She said, I totally understand where Vixen's coming from about being typecast as the angry black woman, the angry black woman syndrome. But she's going about it the wrong way.
Yeah.
That's what Asia said during the mirror moment.
Mm-hmm.
And so to see Vixen kind of get eliminated this week, and I remember she said something about, you know, when this airs, there'll be nothing but love to, like, the queens. And I just fear for, like, the fans just being very nasty and toxic because it's so easy to do these days. And I was talking to Mark about how drag was so much different, you know, getting prepared.
In my day.
Yeah, yeah. And you're... but, like, still...
Ollie wasn't even born yet.
I think, you know, your era of drag... You were ostracized in public, whereas these queens are ostracized online, and both are very harmful.
And some instances, they're ostracized in their own community. Like, part of the Vixen's problem was it's like she went to some event, and they were like, oh, Southside Trash has shown up, and it was like a drag event. I can't remember.
No, it was Pride.
They said
that the Southside drag or Southside Trash ruined it or something.
Right. So it's like I can understand where... There's this like almost, you know, PTSD in your heart because that happened to you. But to be able to like move forward and move on in life, you still have to pull down your walls to be able to like make new friendships and realize that not everybody is going to attack you that way.
Yeah. I totally agree. And I think everything that Asia said was spot on. I think it needed to be said. And she nailed it. She totally nailed it. She's taking out her anger off of whatever she had a problem with Eureka. And I don't even know that we talked about this because that episode last week when they all had to pick who they thought should go home, on the runway and she said Eureka. Later in the Untucked, she actually says, well, if I'm basing it on performance, I should have said Monique. Well, there, you just said that you didn't pick the person you thought should go home. And she says it later. I picked the person that I liked the least to go home because I don't want you here. Well, that's not what RuPaul said.
Right.
RuPaul said, who do you think should go home? You know, and it's and she's saying that based on at this point in the competition, you know? I think everybody knows what they're saying. And that is when the, you know, you do start. And it's hard because you don't want to pick somebody that you may not personally like, but is doing well. It's hard. It takes a tough person. That's a tough person.
Yeah.
That can be annoyed by you, but know that you're doing well in the competition and not say their name and say the person that really truly deserves to go home. I'd be more impressed with that.
Yeah, I
realized what the thing was that I liked that Ruth said. She said, the biggest fight you have is with yourself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was a good, like, Ruth had realized what was going on and was trying to, like, I guess, have a conversation with her about it and then said that. And I think by the end of the episode, it was cool because you saw some resolution by the end of the episode mm-hmm. where she realized she was fighting with herself and that she could make friendships, and you saw her see all her letters and realize like, oh, I didn't expect for Cracker to send me a letter, you know, or something like that. So I think that left her on a really high note because, like, fans can see, okay, you know, you had struggles and you learned something from them, and that's admirable.
Oh. Kenny's in the chat. My computer died, and I can't read that.
Oh, no.
I can't
read it. Hi, Kenny.
I have it. I have it right here.
Look. Okay.
Hi, Kenny.
I love that you think I can read that, too, Oliver. No.
Kenny, hi.
Let me get my glasses on.
All I'll say is that hopefully Vixen did learn something from this experience, and that I just hope that everyone, you know, all the fans just treat the show nicer, and we just need to be nicer to each other.
Uh-oh, yeah. Max is in there again. With a Ollie boner alone.
Hi, Max.
Thank you. Okay, should we get to looks? Let's get to the looks. No more boners.
Okay,
no more boners. The looks.
Runway is glitterific. Runway is glitterific.
Thank you.
Let's start with Cameron. Cameron, to me...
I love Cameron!
In his Cameron shirt. Ear-to-ear smile.
I'm a sucker for rose gold.
Yeah.
So, like, that whole rose gold millennial pink thing that's happening, I'm on it.
I truly think this is the prettiest I've ever seen her. This was my favorite look that she's ever done.
Oh.
I love everything she does, but yes.
I agree, totally.
So, I loved it. Okay, so next is Monet. And I agree with you, Mark. It's like when she came out, I gasped because it was so just like, it was like beautiful, nude, glittery.
Yeah. Yeah.
I thought it was gorgeous.
Yeah.
And I didn't see until they started pointing it out.
Yeah.
Like, oh, this little thing in the back. Or
then
they were bleeping out the crotch area because I guess you could see
the tape.
The HD tape. Really had to zoom in all the imperfections. And I liked what she was going for.
Didn't really notice that. I guess, like, when you're there in person, you notice that. Yeah. But when she came walking out, I thought it was, like, really stunning.
But it didn't stand out in comparison to everyone else's, I think.
Right.
Like, it definitely, for me, was my least favorite of the week.
Oh,
this one was?
No.
Yeah.
Oh,
totally.
I disagree.
Interesting. Okay.
So, Vixen. This was my favorite outfit Vixen's ever done.
I agree.
I loved it.
If she hadn't put glitter all over her body and just had the purple hair with that dress, perfection. It was the glitter on her made it look trashy. I think that, and we talked about this before, RuPaul said there's always just something that's just not, it's just off. And at least this week I can kind of point to it. But I did love it. I thought it was great.
It was beautiful. Because she made that. And that's,
I know.
That
in 24 like, hours. She was very proud of it.
How the hell did she make that?
That takes a lot of like time and dedication. Yeah. And I was impressed.
I totally agree with what you're saying. Because that's such a statement dress. So she didn't need all the extra glitter on her.
Yeah, I agree.
Aquaria.
Oh, yeah. I liked it.
Aquaria. I liked it from the neck up.
Yeah.
The outfit to me was just whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It was a throwaway, but that makeup with that headpiece, it was giving me like Met Gala and the.
I think that's so funny too that this is what she wore right after the Met Gala.
Yeah,
I think
but timing she didn't know.
It, no, not
this
at all.
This was a year ago.
Yeah, so it was totally a year ago. But I just think the timing is kind of
funny. But I just loved it. Like that.
I love the idea of putting that. I love when they do stuff and I'm like, oh, why have I never thought of that.
Yeah. How did she do that, though?
It was she said just, it was a piece of sheer fabric that she put rhinestones on. And then she probably glued it.
Barely see through it.
And then did her makeup
over untucked. It was so funny.
Yeah.
That's cool, because it reminded me of, like, going to confession and how it's on your eyes. It shields you. Yeah. So it was very
It was cool. so, him, Father, so for cool. I just loved it. She's actually, to me, one of my favorite things about her is her makeup. Not necessarily her outfits, but her makeup is always on point. Yeah, so then Asia.
I liked it. I actually really I agree. I didn't like the shoe, but I didn't notice the shoe again until they pointed it out. But I really enjoyed it. I thought it was very darling.
It was fun. I just wish it was a different color because it was dark. Unless that's what she was going for, like that dark, sad clown. But it was a happy clown. Like,
I'm afraid of clowns, so none of this was acceptable. I was just like, run!
You didn't like it.
I love the hair. I thought it was really, really
Anybody
cute.
Wearing a clown outfit makes me, like, cringe.
Yeah. So you didn't like, why can I never remember? Bianca Del Rio's clown?
So
remember her polka dotted clown?
Yeah. No clowns.
Was that a read? I can't tell.
No. I was just asking because she did a clown-ish type gown.
So, Eureka. I thought this was gorgeous.
I loved it.
I can't believe I'm saying this again. I agreed with Michelle. I don't know why she did the white stripes.
I think if the
white stripes were there, it would have been perfection.
I agree. And, like, this is, like, one of my favorite looks this week, and she's not been in my top for, like, since the whole entire season.
She looks
until
so
now.
Glamorous.
Yeah, I agree with the marks.
I wish she didn't do the stripes. Don't get me wrong, I love it. If she did it without stripes, I loved it. I would have liked if she kind of just did Cameron did, like a long hair that was just real simple and again made it. So, sometimes it's got to be just about one thing. And I feel like when you give the focus, when there's too many things going on. So I feel like the dress, it's so amazing.
It's beautiful.
It's like just do a simple hair, put some glitter in it, and just call it a day because it's going to make more of a lasting impression. Again, I love
That's what I was waiting for from Eureka. Like, I was sick of bodysuits. I brought it up, and finally, she gave us this gown. Yeah. It was gorgeous. So, definitely one of my favorites this week.
Mm-hmm.
Then we had Cracker. My thing with Cracker is something that Mark has just been talking about, which is editing.
Yeah.
So, I loved the, like, paint on her face. I loved the dress. I thought this, like, wheel with the skull on it was just too much. It was, like, to me, it was, like, this... when you saw her walk in the back, it was just like this weird clunky item stuck on her, and it was kind of moving funny. And I'm like,
it was off. It definitely had shifted.
Yeah, and I was like, this is just not necessary. Even if she pinned the skull to like the shoulder of her dress and had like the vomit coming down over her boobs or something, that whole wheel thing was just like too clunky for me. But I thought the look was really, really gorgeous.
It photographs well. I can see what you're saying. Like seeing it in motion, it's kind of like a little wonky. So
right.
But I like that she actually did like brown hair. It's not your typical Cracker look.
Yeah.
She's always done blonde hair. So it's cool to see her in a different
She
hair.
Definitely did look different. I disagreed that she needed a lash on that eye.
No.
Absolutely asinine comment. I mean, I didn't really get it. Like, I didn't get why she was doing it, but I don't get a lot of what Miss Cracker does, which also is a good thing. But I liked it. I didn't love it, but I liked it. And I kind of went, oh, okay. Which is always nice. A nice reaction to have.
And I also thought, like, speaking of Cracker, if we want to have like a mirror moment part two, she was talking about how she grew up in Seattle, and she's talked about this before, how she grew up really poor and they would go to school with lunchboxes without any food in them.
Mm-hmm.
And you see, like, it was interesting paired up with the Vixen, because we've had queens like Chi Chi also bring attention to this, where it's like, obviously, Cracker has the funds now to do something, but even Chi Chi was like, I don't have the funds to do certain things. And Monique said this too, like, I don't have the funds to do certain things. So even if you're a person with less means, it doesn't mean you still can't be a great drag queen. Right. And I could see where it's like, Vixen maybe came from a place where she thought, okay, because she mentioned saying that, like, she got to a certain point where, other queens wouldn't be able to get to from her community on the south side of Chicago. And it's like, it doesn't matter if you don't have a lot of money. You can still be like a Chi Chi. You can still be like a Monique, and even like Vixen. This outfit that she wore that was super super crafty that she made herself. you don't have to have a ton of money to get to this point. And then you reach a point where I guess this is like where Cracker is now, where she's been working a lot in New York and must get a lot of money in New York to be able to pay for all these things. But, you know, there have been queens where like they started off with nothing. And then once you move on from the show, then you get the endorsements and all the money.
Because now they all probably have the money now.
Yeah.
You can only imagine how much money they're getting now for all the gigs that they're booking.
Right.
But yeah, definitely just takes time to learn your craft for sure.
I thought it was a good message, though. It was like a message of like, it doesn't matter where you came from. As long as you're really creative, you can like get to this show and still like make an impact on people.
Yeah.
The shizzle. Any more thoughts before we move on to the fan shout outs?
The lip sync. Did we talk about the lip sync?
Oh, we can. And, I mean, I did. I thought what we said earlier, where we said like Vixen, it did seem like she kind of
gave up,
like her heart wasn't in it.
Yeah.
Because when you compare even this to last week, I was like, this is a different person.
Yeah.
You know, like she felt defeated.
Yeah, it's hard to go into your third lip sync and feel like you're going to win it, because it's like, okay, if I stay, I'm going to be in the bottom again and then I'm going to go home. So it was just like she was walking on eggshells for sure.
You know what I was going to say? I feel like, and maybe it's just me, this is to do with the Untucked. I feel like Miss Cracker is kind like, I feel like she keeps instigating stuff with Aquaria. Do you get like, just she keeps like,
I feel like that's from something that they said in the beginning, though, where it's like they kept saying that they looked alike and maybe there's something still in there.
I just feel, because if you think about it, after Rue talked to her, she walks over and says, how did you feel about that? Like, very almost condescending. Yeah. Like, how did that go? And she said, why should I be worried? Blah, blah, blah. And then in the Untucked, you know, that she felt necessary to point out to her the way that she talks. I don't know. Like, I don't know if it's intentional, but I just keep noticing that she keeps doing stuff like that. I just found it interesting because it happened twice this episode.
In her confessional, she did say that she thought Vixen and Aquaria should be in the bottom. So that's interesting. Unless that's producers. Because the producers do ask you, ask or make sure you ask so-and-so this question or make sure you say this to this person. So I'll keep my eye on that for a future episode. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sure.
It felt like that was a continuation of the thing in the beginning where they were setting up a competition between Vixen and Aquaria because everyone was saying they
maybe
looked
they
alike.
Will
not Vixen and Aquaria. I'm sorry. Were they Cracker and Aquaria were saying they looked alike.
Yeah.
So fan shout outs, Demi Damon, 1982, Michelle Fitzgerald, Wesley Allen, Clinton James, who saw Drag Become Sir as well and loved it. And then an iTunes shout out from Junior 706. It says, my favorite podcast for Drag Race. I always listen to you guys while at work. Keep up the good work and hope to see you at DragCon.
I had a couple people that said, oh, I love your podcast. I was like, oh, thank you. Trinity K. Bonet's friend, when I walked by the booth, she leaned over and she's like, I watch your podcast. I love your podcast. I think I like you. And I was like, oh, you're the one who likes me. And she started laughing. And she said, no, there's more than me. And I said, I'm waiting to get some tomatoes thrown at me while I'm here. And she started laughing.
Oh, I just want to give a shout out quick to Teddy Young, who went to DragCon with his mom. Today he was with his mom on Mother's Day. So
that's sweet.
Yeah, he sent me some pictures.
Who is this?
Teddy Young.
Yeah. I think I saw him.
I love his hat.
Yeah,
oh, no, I don't
Princess
know
Peach. Oh, okay. Well, shout out to him. Thank you so much.
He had a Princess Peach hat on. Sorry. No one can see this. Thank you guys for commenting. Please keep commenting on iTunes or on YouTube, and you might get a cool shout out.
Yeah.
News and gossip really quick. Rue has two shows coming up. One is on Netflix. I forgot that we have this.
I didn't even know. Yeah. This is news to me. Yeah.
So Rue has a show coming up on Netflix called AJ and the Queen, and Rue plays a traveling drag queen named Ruby Red, and travels around with her friend AJ in a 90s RV. It wasn't clear to me if it's like set in the 90s or they're just using a 90s RV. So we'll see. If it was set in the 90s, I would be really excited doubly about it. But and then there's a Hulu show based on Rue's life where J.J. Abrams is executive producing it.
That's awesome.
So, interesting.
That is awesome.
So, yeah.
And and Vixen's playing the role of RuPaul.
Why not?
Possibly.
It could happen.
Maybe.
I don't know.
No, that's cool. That's really cool, especially if it's J.J. Abrams, who's done, like, Cloverfield and, like, all
I know. I Star thought Trek. It was an interesting one for J.J. Abrams because he usually does, like, sci-fi-y type of stuff. So I thought that was, like, cool.
Yeah, damn.
Cool.
Maybe it's RuPaul doing sci-fi. I don't know.
Yeah.
So really quick, do you guys have any predictions for who the top three are going to be?
Who I want it to be?
Sure.
Your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
Okay.
So, well, did we pick a top three yet?
I don't remember.
We've been going back. Ours has been changing. Like,
yeah.
Okay. I want Eureka. I would love to see Monet. And if I had to pick a third, I would pick actually Aquaria.
Okay. Mine's similar. Mine would be, for top three, if they're not doing the top four, top three would be Eureka, Aquaria. Realistically, I think it's going to be Asia, but I would want it to be Cameron. Yeah. Okay. Based on challenge wins so far.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So.
I would say Eureka, Cameron, and Monet. And that's what I'm going to go with.
Okay.
All right,
we'll stick to your guns.
We'll see.
Although three. I love Asia, I just don't see them as putting Asia in the top three. So I'm already like mentally making
unless
that adjustment.
No. Top four,
unless there's top four, because Asia would be like right up there for me. You guys, Mark and I will not be here next week.
Yes, we have a wedding.
We will be at my wedding.
Yay!
Ollie and Ronnie Jr. will be here, and we're trying to get...
And Tony Moore, I think,
is going to
be
Moore.
Here. Yeah.
So we're trying to get... That's who we're getting, Tony Moore. He didn't confirm that to me.
He told me, because he said something about next weekend, and I said, I can't next Sunday. Oh, an interview for somebody from Days. And I said, oh, I can. I have Jackie's wedding. He's like... Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm doing your show. And I said, yeah,
good.
You are. So
because I asked him to do it, and then I...
Yeah.
That's the confirmation.
Yeah.
Thank you, Tony Moore.
Yeah. He just texted me, too, so I'll remind him.
Well, let the people know where they can find you. You can find me on all platforms, 123 Jackie B.
You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Lorraine Love, LorayneLove.
And you can find me on all social media platforms at Ollie Dreamer.
Thanks, you guys, for tuning in. Send us your share impressions.
Yeah!
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Drag you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.